Tonight, a novel idea visits authors at the 10th Annual Sonoma County Book Festival, taking place in Santa Rosa's Old Courthouse Square, Saturday, September 19th from 10 to 4. Free admission to all. Join Rosemary Manchester in conversation. It's a novel idea. Stay tuned.
Good evening and welcome to A Novel Idea. It's the annual special broadcast about the Sonoma County Book Festival. This year, it's the 10th annual Sonoma County Book Festival. This is Rosemary Manchester, your host, and my guests here in the studio, Barbara Baer, Terry Arrett, and C.D. Payne, three authors who will be reading at the book festival, and we'll get a chance to talk to each of them individually and hear them read a bit of their work. First, I want to give you a little bit of information about how to find out about the book festival. You can go to the website. That's one of the simplest ways to do it. It's socobookfest.org, and there you will find the schedule, the authors with their pictures and biographies, a map of the site, and almost anything else that you need to know. Did I say that the whole event is free and that it takes place on Saturday, September 19th at Old Courthouse Square from 10 until 4? When you get to the Courthouse Square, I'd suggest you go to the information booth and pick up a schedule if you haven't already printed your own from the website, because there are several venues where the readings and the events take place. Most of them take place right there on the square, the children's tent, the Redwood Writers tent, and then the exhibitors. And many of the readings take place at the Santa Rosa Public Library, which is just down the street. And so then, armed with your schedule and your map, you can plan your day and decide which of the many, many enticing things you're going to do at the book festival. Since this is our 10th annual book festival, I thought we'd take a short trip down memory lane. Barbara, you've been with the festival from the beginning, haven't you?
I have, yes.
Tell us a little bit about how it's developed over the years.
Well, it's gone up and down in size. We've had dramatic years. For instance, the book festival was directly after September 11th in 2001, mm-hmm. when we had, it was that weekend. There were a number of authors. It was a pretty big list of authors. I think we had three venues that time, and a number of the authors who wanted to be there couldn't get on flights and couldn't come. We nevertheless had an incredibly good turnout with lots of enthusiasm, mm-hmm. lots of feeling we were all very grateful to be where we were. Mm-hmm. Often we've seemed to have had book fairs right before election time, and so we don't have it this year, but we've had a number of politically mm-hmm. oriented panels that were always very popular. Mm-hmm. We've had big-time authors like Michael Pollan, who drew too many people for even the largest space that we had, and that was pretty embarrassing. There were about twice as many people who wanted to hear Michael Pollan, sort of a perfect storm,
yes.
his book coming out and
yes.
all the publicity and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We've had smaller book fairs. We've had book festivals when it was 110 degrees or so.
I remember that
And people
year.
Did right. suffer through it. What's been so consistent is the utterly pleasurable place that it is. It
yes.
is this tent village. And the way mm-hmm. that our guests just wander among all the stalls with mm-hmm. the various booksellers and mm-hmm. publishers
yes.
and public mm-hmm. service people mm-hmm. and browse. And I think mm-hmm. we've added more of the theatrical in the last few years.
Yes, and we have quite a bit of that
mm-hmm.
this year. Mm-hmm.
And things like the poetry that mm-hmm. is involving younger people and painting of benches that's involved art, people connected with art mm-hmm. in the museum. So we've changed. It was It was planned in a living room at Jack Steppen's house, as I recall. And I think Terry has been part of it for a very long time, Terry Arrett, taking care of the poetry part, which was, we've had fabulous poetry. And that's continued. We used to have the poetry at the Old Vic, which was very companionable. And on a hot day to have a beer and listen was great. But then, since then, we've had it on the square in a tent.
You want to add anything to that, Terry?
I can. The Old Vic was quite a wonderful venue. Unfortunately, the venue closed, so we did have to kind of scramble to find new digs. And getting onto Courthouse Square has been quite a blessing in many ways because it's brought poetry right to the center of activity there. Also, unfortunately, right where all the traffic is. So in terms of acoustics, it's not always ideal from a poet's point of view, but it's really nice to be at the heart of where the activity is. I've been involved as an MC, as a coordinator of the poetry branch of the programs. I've also been involved as a vendor, as an exhibitor, because I'm one of the founders of 16 Rivers Press, and we've been there from the very beginning.
That's right, been there
and
every year.
Even that really hot 110-degree day, there's those wonderful fountains, and I just remember how pleasant it was to sit with your feet in the water under those tall redwood trees where it was a good 10 degrees cooler than anywhere else, and I couldn't imagine a better place to be on a day like that than at Courthouse Square.
And listen to poetry.
And we've also had things like the Sonoma Reads. We've coordinated the book that was either being read, I think, in the junior colleges or the high schools and had a presentation at noon. It was Steinbeck one year.
The Grapes of Wrath, that's right. And that was a California Reads as well as a work of literary merit that we were studying at the junior college.
C.D., will this be your first book festival?
Well, years ago, I had a booth there.
Oh, did you really?
I did. I was an exhibitor. I have a little one-man publishing company, so I was out there signing books and greeting my three readers in the county, and it was a lot of fun.
You have more now.
But this is your first year to participate as an author.
That's right.
Yes.
It will be my first time that I speak at the event.
Let's talk a little bit about your work, because I want each one of you to do that. I feel as though, confession, I was not aware of your work until I saw your name and read the book. And to me, that's like someone announcing that there was a new continent that I had no idea it was there, and everyone else had visited and been there and said what a nice place it was, and I'm coming to it brand new. So it was a very interesting experience to read about Nick Twisp and his adventures, and then I discovered you have 5 books about Nick.
Well, I have the original novel and three sequels.
And 3 sequels, yes.
That's right.
Yes, and there's to be a movie?
Right. The movie is finished, and it's coming out October 30th. And the trailer for it is now on the web. You can see it at YouTube and other sites.
Okay. And do you have a website as well?
I do. It's nicktwisp.com.
Okay. And I'm sure our readers will be... I'm sure that there are many, many people listening who've been familiar with your work for a long time. And I'm always embarrassed to say I'm coming into it as a... reading it for the first time. But I'm certainly glad I finally discovered it.
Well, I've been an obscure author for many years, and I'm hoping that the movie will put a little dent in my obscurity.
I think things are about to change. Wait, will there be a premiere for this movie?
I don't know. It's opening tomorrow at the Toronto International Film Festival.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if there will be a Hollywood premiere. I think that tradition is dying out, but I haven't heard.
So you don't have to get a tuxedo or anything like
that? No, and I don't have to walk down the red carpet.
You might.
And you don't have to find a date?
No, I would be taking my wife. She's listening, so I can't.
Would you just tell us a bit about Nick Twisp and his adventures and perhaps read a short passage from your work?
Okay, the original novel is called Youth in Revolt, and it's the journals of a young boy in Oakland who's almost 15 when it starts. And He starts. It starts out in the summertime, and he's having a typical boring summer, and things get a little hot and heavy after a while.
I would say.
And the movie trailer has a scene shows a scene where he starts a fire that destroys about $5 million of the gourmet ghetto of Berkeley. So I thought I would read from the book that scene, since you can see it in the trailer.
Yeah, if you'd read a bit of that, thanks.
Okay. Nick has an alter ego who he invents, who's sort of the rebellious side, and his name is Francois. Francois fired up the big V8, shifted into drive, and pulled forward. He's driving his mother's boyfriend's Lincoln and old trailer. As he cut across the lawn to dodge the Buick, the side of the trailer clipped the corner of the house, making an alarming tearing sound. Francois didn't stop. Chunks of stucco fell like giant hailstones, and a galvanized downspout shuddered and writhed, collapsing the long rain gutter across the front of the house. As the house clung obstinately to the trailer, the Lincoln's big white walls began to spin deep ruts in the thick sod. Francois gunned it. With a lurch, the trailer splintered free and the Lincoln shot forward. Masterfully, Francois dodged the birch tree, sacrificing instead the smaller Asian pear. Next, he successfully swerved around the newly emerged Mr. Ferguson, who's the next-door neighbor, wide-eyed with wonder and fright. Then the still-accelerating Lincoln bounced over the curb and catapulted into the street, narrowly missing several parked cars. Fighting panic, Francois at last found the brake pedal and screeched to a stop, nearly jackknifing the trailer. "Are you sure you know what you're doing?" demanded Nick. "Relax, kid," said Francois, straightening his mustache. "I read the book. It's all coming back to me now." Francois buckled his seatbelt, gripped the steering wheel at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, checked his rearview mirror, and proceeded sedately down the street. At the corner, he came to a full stop, activated his turn signal, waited patiently for oncoming traffic to pass, then negotiated a successful right-hand turn. Driving was just as easy and fun as he had always imagined. No wonder adults didn't let kids do it. Francois followed his pre-planned route through heavy Friday evening traffic, keeping well under the speed limit. The plan might have worked, except for that bump in the road right before the stop sign on that long, steep hill. The car bottomed out, the trailer bounced up, and suddenly Francois noticed the Lincoln manifested new power, almost as if it had spontaneously acquired a turbocharger or been released from a great weight. The latter was the case. Frozen in terror, Francois stared at the horror scene unfolding in his rearview mirror, trailer retreating rapidly, A-frame sparking against the asphalt, other cars careering out of the way. Then crash, the Lincoln's forward progress was arrested abruptly by the crumpling bumper and trunk of a Fiat stopped at the intersection. Dazed, Francois stumbled out of the car and open-mouthed watched the vehicular ballet unfold. Down the hill, the speeding trailer sideswiped a delivery van, spun around, paused a split second to ponder its options, then resumed its downward plunge toward the busy cross street below. Quump! With that ominous sound, the still rest of Lincoln parted from the broken Fiat and began to roll down the hill after its partner. "Oh, no," explained Francois to the stunned Fiat driver. "I forgot to set the brake." The driver bolted after the accelerated Lincoln and almost reached it in time. Too bad he didn't. Too bad he hadn't thought to set his own brake.
It's extremely cinematic. You'll be able to be there to hear C.D. Payne read from his book and talk about Nick Twisp, and there will be books there that you can buy, and C.D. will sign them for you. He'll be speaking at the Public Library in the Forum Room at 11:30 in the morning at the Book Festival. On September 19th, a Saturday. And did I mention that the festival is free? So here's an opportunity to come and hear what happened to Nick Twisp after that. Okay. Something that we've mentioned and I like to talk about a little bit is the exhibitors who are on the square. There will be at least 90 of them this year, 90. And there's a tremendous variety, a number of booksellers. The independent bookstores will be there. And then individual booksellers, Friends of the Library will be there selling used books. That's a very popular place to look for books. Barbara is a publisher. Her Florient Press will be there, as well as the other press. Is it
16 Rivers?
16
Press.
Rivers. I knew there are a lot of rivers. I was trying to come up with a number, and it's. I love just wandering around on the square and talking to the exhibitors, writers, illustrators, writing teachers. You can just have a marvelous time.
Yeah, I've always felt that way, yes. Rosemary, that it's like a big family reunion,
yes.
Because this literary community is remarkably diverse, and yes. We do have occasions to get together, but not enough as far as I'm concerned. And this is one of the most wonderful occasions when I'm always seeing 15 or 20 people I haven't seen since the previous book festival. And sometimes I'll be on my way to get a sandwich and it takes me 2 hours to get back,
yes.
Just because I find myself in conversation with this person or that person,
right.
Meeting sometimes writers like CD who, set up their own booth.
Right.
And I've never read their work or had a chance to meet them before, and this is that wonderful occasion, this great equalizer, where the big presses, such as they are, and the individual authors are right there side by side.
And there are always surprises. I mean, we very often have exhibitors from far away, too.
Yes, yes.
I mean, from even Southern California.
Yes.
Because the Sonoma County Book Festival, in its 10th year, is the oldest surviving book festival in all of Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
The San Francisco Book Festival is no more. Other book festivals have come and gone, and we have been able to keep on putting on this one-day event for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Florient Press has been an exhibitor for all 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been a great way.
And 16 Rivers has been since our inception, in 2000.
Mm-hmm. Well, the two of you have had a lot to do with that because you've worked on the festival over the years. And, Barbara, you've served on the Authors Committee, which is, of course, the heart of the whole thing, is contacting knowing about the writers, contacting them, persuading them to come, because, of course, that we aren't budgeted for the authors. They come at their own expense.
No budget.
And you've done a valiant job. You are doing a valiant job to bring all those all that talent to us.
Well, thank you. It's always it's the heart, but every aspect of the book festival, like anything that one does,
that's
publishing
true.
A book,
that's
each
true.
Part in its time is the most important.
Yes.
So now, right now, we need, as you're doing with our friends at KRCB, to get the word out so that people come. That's always
great.
Just great part of it.
And speaking of publishing a book, you have just published a delightful book. Is it your first novel?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Not the first I've written. Of course.
There are
boxes in drawers.
Well, that's good news.
Recycled paper over many, many years.
Uh-huh.
But this is the first one to be bound in a cover.
Yeah, and it's very good. I've read it. It's called Grisha the Scrivener, and it takes place in what was then the Soviet Union, and that's you're very, very familiar with that territory, and you give a beautiful interpretation of your protagonist. In fact, I like this book so much that I have persuaded you to come back, and we'll do an entire evening in October.
I'm happy
on your new book, Grisha the Scrivener. So that's a little heads up that Barbara is going to be the main cheese in October. And also, would you mention the event that you're having to introduce the book?
Well, Grisha the Scrivener is published by a medium small press in Denver called Ghost Road Press. And like everything today and always, I mean, I'm enormously grateful. The person I've had contact with is wonderful, helpful, thoughtful. But, of course, any book that wants to have a readership beyond one's friends and family, and now being able to be on KRCB, the writer has to do a lot of work. And it's true even with a larger publisher. If you don't do it, no one's going to really know about it or want to read it. So in some ways, this is why I think it's so hard to get agents, publishers these days, because everybody knows if you don't love a work and are willing to put yourself out there from the very beginning through selling it, it will just die a quiet death somewhere in extra copies. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing, and I'm going to give myself a book, a coming out party for Grisha on October 17th in Grayton at a lovely little place that I'd seen for years but never had stepped inside. It's called the Grayton Community Clubhouse, and it's from 1912, and they've been restoring it. It's been, all I knew about it was they often had garden shows and plant sales, but there's much more there. There's acupuncture and massage, and so I'm very pleased. It'll be a nice little place not far from Forestville, where I live. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give a party with, mm-hmm, you know, Russian flair, some vodka and black bread and pickles and some music and
caviar.
Well, ersatz caviar of some sort. I'm on a limited budget myself.
Exactly.
But I think it's just a way, you know, mm-hmm, after all this time of writing and, mm-hmm, and also being a publisher myself and, yes, knowing how hard one works to get a book out there, mm-hmm, I need to do the work for this little book, mm-hmm, too.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be in the evening.
It'll be in the late afternoon on a Saturday from 4 to 8.
4 to 8.
And it's all at I'm the hostess, mm-hmm, and so...
So everybody come.
Please come.
Right. And that's October 17th in Grayton. And that will be just several days after you do the Novel Idea show here on the 14th.
Well,
that's going to be a big week.
It's a big crowded event. Yes. It's the Grayton Community Clubhouse. I mean, they're electrical everything. There are very few things that we can plug in, but we'll hope for a mic.
We'll hope for the best.
A music system.
And Barbara will be reading at the forum room of the public library at noon on the day of the book festival, which is, did I mention, September 19th from 10 to 4 in Courthouse Square and also in the forum room of the library. Terry, let's talk a bit about your latest book.
Great.
And this is not your first book.
No. And, you know, like Barbara, it's sort of hard to number the books because it depends on how you define book. Mm-hmm. But this is my third solo publication, book length publication as opposed to chapbook. And it's called Lucky Break. It was published by 16 Rivers Press in 2008.
It's a beautiful book.
Thank you.
Would you read something from Lucky Break?
I would love to read something from Lucky Break. But you know what I'm going to read is a poem that didn't make it into the book.
Okay, your choice.
Part of a series that is in Lucky Break. Mm-hmm. And these were poems that I wrote from September 11th, 2001, through the end of 2003, well, just the very, very end of, mm-hmm, 2003. And they were poems obviously responding to what for me was an extremely dark time in our country's history. And this poem, this prose poem, was not included, but only because we ran out of pages and something had to go. And so this one poem from the series was taken out, but I will be reading it again at the book festival. Mm-hmm. And my daughter and her husband, both musicians and composers, have set this particular piece to music, and they will be performing it at the Forum Room at the book festival.
And let me announce what time that will be. That will be at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Yes, 2:00, and Caitlin and her husband Tim will be performing "All of Us Must Have Been Asleep." When it happened, some of us were planting in the garden or spreading manure and digging the pungent soil into beds. Some of us were looking into the eyes of the beloved or into reflections of self we mistook for the beloved. Some of us were finding it hard to breathe. Some of us were trying to keep the house clean, making plans or canceling them. When it happened, some of us left the television sets and the news of bombs hammering against the night and sat down in chairs and tried to explain to ourselves what it was about. some of us couldn't bear to come out at all, but stood alone in the spring evening and stroked softly, softly our fear. All of us must have been asleep, to have let so many lies slip by like the hundreds of days between now and then, slip by like this silence we have not yet learned how to break.
Oh, that's marvelous.
That was composed on the anniversary of the bombing of Baghdad. So composed on March 18th, 2004, 1 year after that assault began.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I can't wait to hear it with music. That will be very moving.
It was very moving when I first heard it, which was at my daughter's senior recital at Mills College.
Oh.
And she surprised me with this performance. And it was quite amazing to me how she and her husband were able to really catch the emotional heart of that piece, and particularly in their percussion and timing and the vocals.
Wonderful. It's exceptional. We have a great lineup of poets.
I know, and it's Gwen O'Gara who deserves the attention and certainly deserves our thanks for stepping in and coordinating a really wonderful poetry program for this year.
She's an excellent poet herself.
She is, and teacher of poetry as well.
Yes. And of course, when people look at the schedule, they'll. I wish we could mention everyone's name who's participating in the book festival, but we just aren't able to do that in the hour that we have. So all of you who don't get your name mentioned, I'm really, really sorry. And we'll encourage people to, you know, hear you at the festival at least. I understand that Paul Flores is going to be at the festival. He's quite well known in the area.
Yes.
Yes, and can you tell us anything about him?
I don't know Paul's work, this will be one of those occasions, you know, like you meeting CD and getting a chance to see this this writer's work for the first time. So that's going to be my opportunity to discover him.
Okay. We're going to take a short break now, and we'll be right back. You're listening to A Novel Idea. This is Rosemary Manchester, your host, and my guests in the studio are C.D. Payne, Barbara Bear, and Terry Arrett. And we'll be right back. We're back. You're listening to A Novel Idea, and we're talking about the book festival. I was just talking with Terry Arrett about poetry at the book festival, and I like to let people know that poetry is alive and well the day after the book festival in Petaluma, because poetry walk there comes the next day.
The Petaluma Poetry Walk, which was founded by its director, Jerry DiGiorno, is also former poet laureate of Sonoma County, and she's been running this show for, I believe this is the 13th year, and that's on Sunday, September 20th, and it begins at 10 and goes until 7 p.m. At different venues. It's a movable feast, so that's a little different from the Courthouse Square, which really just has the one location at Courthouse Square plus the library, but it begins at the Petaluma Art Center, which is on Lakeville, and then moves from there to different locations and venues throughout downtown Petaluma and finishes up at about 8 p.m. It's quite a wonderful day.
What an amazing place we live to have all this
wonderful
stuff going on. Yes. As I was looking at my schedule of the events and where they take place, I realized that all day long on the outdoor stage there are performances, live performances. I'm so sorry that Elliot Fintuchel couldn't be with us this evening as we'd hoped, because he's going to be one of the performers. But there, the Pegasus Theater, David Beckman is going to do Becoming Walt Whitman. There's a group of poetry readers called The Bounty of the County. That sounds like it would be a lot of fun. Something else that we will see down on the square, we've had a wonderful infusion of talent and energy from the Redwood Writers. And they are going to conduct a reading circle all day on the square. And that will be a very, very popular place. It starts out with readings from the sitting room, and then all day long people will be reading their work. The Redwood Writers is a branch of the California Writers Club, and they're an extremely talented group. You're probably familiar with Gail Mansurg because he has a Wednesday night program here on KRCB, and he's one of the very energetic people behind the Redwood Writers. So be sure to check them out. They're on the town square. Now, I got so excited talking to Barbara Bear about her new book, Grisha the Scrivener, I didn't give her a chance to read. So we're going to do that right now. Barbara, would you?
You got excited talking about the party.
Yes.
I like to think of the vodka, too.
Yes.
And the brown bread and the pickles. This short novella, starts in 1966 in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, when it was still part of the Soviet Union. Now Uzbekistan is one of the five independent stands in Central Asia. And the voice in the novel, the voice telling all the stories, is a very disaffected journalist. He works as a hack. He's what we would call a scrivener, though that term comes from people who wrote for lawyers, wrote the briefs and wrote other things, from Melville's story, Bartleby the Scrivener. But this character, Grisha Grigorovich, writes nothing that he chooses to write, although underground, in quiet, he's a poet, but he won't show it. So I'm going to just read two paragraphs in Grisha's voice. I expect they'll rewrite the history of our miserable Russian century any number of times. Unfortunately, I won't be around to read it. As it is, I don't look at my own copy after I make my evening deadline. I take the damp first page off the presses to wrap my bread. Warm, flat bread from the Alaysky Bazaar, that's something to care about, even with a smear of printer's ink on the sesame seeds. Sometimes in my discounted profession, I surprise myself. I can't help writing a good sentence now and then, a moment of detail when I describe a Russian colonial street where they've left a stand of lime trees, white fences, delicately carved blue wooden eaves. If I come upon a chai khana on a shady corner under fruit trees in the Uzbek quarter, where old men in their colored robes drink tea, I might note that even Allah's heaven can't beat a dry, hot summer day when it's only an hour until the sun drops and the evening breeze comes up to make the fragrance of the ripe grapes sweeter than kisses. My fingers itch, and a word or two comes out about the deaf woman on the corner under my office, who sweeps the dust with her ancient broom, sweeps away the sandy wind off the desert, this eternal babushka, who is the muscle of our country. Sometimes a lyrical line slips out between my hack agricultural reports, but should my editor ask me for a human interest story, I tell him to pass it on to someone else. I'm a specialist at production numbers, I say. It's true. I write down figures faster than anyone else. But I am not a recorder of human emotions. Who needs sentiments after all? Let them wave their banners, roll out their tanks, and sing patriotic songs if they want. You won't find me at the reviewing stand, interviewing little girls they send up to present flowers to fat men with jowls hanging over their medals. Never.
That was Barbara Bear reading from her new novel, Grisha the Scrivener. And Barbara will be reading at the book festival, and she will also be the featured guest on A Novel Idea in October. That'll be October 14th. I want to talk a bit about the children's tent. Nancy Garcia does a beautiful job in coordinating the authors and the storytellers who present their work at the children's tent. So be sure to bring the whole family. We try to make the book festival oriented toward people of all ages. It's very inclusive. We try to come up with things that will entice people to come and encourage their interest in books and in literature. And we hope that we'll be successful in doing that again this year.
Yeah, a little secret is I think sometimes those folk over at the children's tent seem to be having a really good time.
I know.
And a lot of the adults kind of end up there by the end of the day.
Right. That's right. Barbara, you mentioned that the downtown merchants are having a sidewalk sale in the area, so that people who are at the book festival, I'd encourage you to check that out.
The people at the book festival can go over to the sidewalk sale, yep. And we're truly hoping that the people who come to the sidewalk sale will cross the street,
yes,
and safely and come to join the book festival crowd, yes. Which is really so welcoming. I mean, it's like these little alleyways, but they're all open, mm-hmm. between the booths. Though this year, as you may know, we've made the book fair festival a little bit different. It's more frugal. And all of these exhibitors are not having to rent booths and tents and so on, but are bringing their own because we just thought that people were perhaps not going to shell out money or whatever to do it. But we actually have more exhibitors than we've had in the past. So perhaps frugal is the best. Mm-hmm. Frugal, and what's our watchword? Is something local and sustainable,
yes.
Something like that. And I mean, you could say that about the book festival. Mm-hmm. We have been able to sustain ourselves on volunteers and on sponsors,
oh, yes.
Both sponsors in kind, mm-hmm. like the KRCB, who's mm-hmm. always been the best, mm-hmm. and the Press Democrat and Copperfields and the Crush, and their O'Reilly. I really need to say them all. And Clone,
yeah,
who has done printing, and the Bohemian, who's also given us a great deal of space. Of course, the Sonoma County Library. This year, the City of Santa Rosa. Target has been enormously generous in their keeping us going. The Council on the Arts. I hope I haven't left anything out. The Arts District. But it shows we have just real support. Everybody realizes that this is one event that we want to keep going, and that if we're the only book festival standing in Northern California, it's because mm-hmm. it's community-based and community-supported.
Mm-hmm. I think one fun thing that I know about the book festival is you'll see books that you will never see in your average bookstore. Northern California is really a center of dynamic book publishing of small companies and not-so-small companies. And they have a lot of interesting books, and it's fun to explore.
That's right. You never know what you'll find.
You do, and many small, like my small press, Florient. We made our debut at the book festival.
Oh, did you really?
And so there's a small press. If somebody's interested, they've never heard of us because we didn't exist, and they see, oh my goodness, here's a press. And over the years, many small presses. It's not easy to have a place to have your work shown. And the book festival has always been enormously welcoming and affordable, and this year even more affordable.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And
spirit of frugality.
Also, the number of used books that are for sale. You just never know what you're going to find at the people who are who bring used books there, and you can pick up some very interesting things. And of course, when the writers are sitting right there, you have a chance to chat with them and learn about how they did it.
Yeah, I remember I always give my students extra credit for attending the book festival. So if any of my students are listening, keep that in mind. But they always come back and say, I never really thought about the person who wrote the book. Mm-hmm. And I never imagined that I would meet any of the people who write the books that I like to read. And especially for young children and for teens, this is a remarkable opportunity, and I hope many of them will come out.
Well, that, and mention C.D. Payne. I mean, after all, that should be a big draw, especially with the younger crowd.
With all those youth in revolt, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm so glad that we're inviting and having C.D. Payne.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be a lot of readers who, my goodness, I actually get to mm-hmm. meet the author,
the creator
of Nick. So
that's right. Mm-hmm. And let's give a tribute to the volunteers who put the whole thing together. We talked about Barbara and Robin Beeman and Susan Swartz. And who else is on the
other side? Well, Karen Peterson has done it, and J.J. Wilson.
Yes.
Without her, it wouldn't be. We had a great deal of help from the Steppens in the past. Donna Cherlin, Marlene Balan.
Yes.
I hate to name, it's like I don't have a list. I wish I did, because there have been so many. All Armando Garcia.
Yes.
The people who, I mean, there are things like the
Catherine
logistics.
Catherine Hastings has been helpful in the past.
And Nancy Garcia and many others who've done the children's. And, you know, none of us, there's no time when at the end everybody goes, oh, stand up, take a bow. It just all, the fair is over, the curtain goes down, and sometime in the winter, we think about the next year.
And the day of the festival, there are people there helping people set
we
up.
We always
their,
have from the Volunteer Center and others who help and guide you around and help people unload books at the corner and many different functions.
Yes, and of course, we couldn't do it without all those volunteers.
No, I think sometimes that the more volunteers you have involved, and this is a largely volunteer organization that putting this on, it has a longer life because it's not as subject to the whims of finances or grants, which can come and go. And the volunteer energy is still there and still very much alive in the book festival.
Well, I do have to say that we do like our sponsors, the ones that help us keep going, and we do like contributions, and we do have fundraisers because there's a certain amount of expenses. We have a paid coordinator, but that's usually been the only outgo that we've had was the paid coordinator.
Yes.
Our
paid coordinator is Nadia Masura, and she's done a fine job of holding the whole thing together. And so that we're almost ready to roll it out another 10 days, and we'll be down there on the square. We've talked about the committee and the volunteers. With the time we have left, I'd like to talk a bit about the outdoor stage and the performances there, because that's something. I mean, we've had performances in the past, but I think the number of them that we're going to have, it's a little different, and I think it'll be a real draw. It, to have you know, a focus of something going on the stage.
That's true. We've never had it quite such a full program of theatrical presentations. Mm-hmm. We had some plays 1 year, but they were upstairs in, I'm not sure, the cantina maybe, and I can't remember, but it wasn't right on the square, so it was not as easy of access. Elliot Finto's show has been a living book for a number of years, and he's always wonderful, and I do believe we may have a Jack London again. So there has been, you know, this kind of interactiveness.
Yes.
And the theatrical productions will make that much more so.
Mm-hmm. That's right. When the Authors Committee is working toward putting things together, Barbara, it must be quite a challenge. There is so much talent in the community. And then, of course, the community extends to the greater metropolitan San Francisco area. And as you say, people are coming from Southern California as well. But could you tell us a bit about how the committee works? I know you work very hard.
Well, you know, it's difficult. It really is. And people begin asking us if they can be part of as readers in the book festival long before. It's always a difficult choice. We have a few parameters. The book should be published in the preceding year. And we don't have a rule of any sort about local writers. We can't pay to have writers who come from afar. Mm-hmm. And there are terrific writers we would always like to have that, you know, it's just too difficult, too expensive.
Yeah.
But it's hard. We like to have a balance. We always look for something that will draw different parts of the community.
Mm-hmm. It must
it's a tough one. You know, because you've been on it yourself.
Mm-hmm. It must be hard to say no to people who are talented and really would like to come and read, but you can't take everybody.
It's very hard to say no. Mm-hmm. We do have some standby. I mean, Gayla Baron has had a local history panel I believe, every year of
That's
our 10
right.
years.
We should have mentioned that.
And it's
that.
Always a terrific panel. She has different people who are local historians. I am trying to remember. I know that I... It isn't... Oh, yes, they're
yeah,
here.
She
Simone
is.
Wilson, uh-huh. Marjorie Wolf, and Vivian Sosnowski.
Mm-hmm.
Vivian Sosnowski has just published a very well-received book, When the Rivers Ran Red, mm-hmm. about the time Prohibition time in Sonoma
mm-hmm.
County.
Mm-hmm.
Marjorie Wolf is an extraordinarily accomplished author mm-hmm. who has... She's both been a professor and... Oh, she has a dozen books to her credit, I think. And Simone Wilson is... really the one who's written and documented in these marvelous small books different communities mm-hmm. within Sonoma County.
Yes, and Gayla Baron.
And Gayla Baron is the... Yes. She orchestrates it
yes.
all. She's the doyen, the in charge of it, and
mm-hmm.
everyone knows mm-hmm. her from her mm-hmm. many, many decades of yes. local history columns in the Press Democrat, which mm-hmm. used to be daily, I believe, and now
yes.
they're... usually on Sundays.
And the tradition is that she opens the show.
She does.
It's on at 10
she
o'clock
does.
In the
and there's
room.
Always a terrific
it's
audience
packed.
Because there are loads of people interested in the history
oh, yes.
and historians, local historians
That's
themselves.
Right.
It's always successful.
Yes.
We always have it at 10 in the morning mm-hmm. where I'm not sure that we would get such an audience except the faithful. And then we usually have mystery writers, which
yes.
we're closing the festival this year
yes. mm-hmm.
with two mystery writers who are local but have
yes.
national... Mm-hmm. Neither of them are from here.
That's
Bart
right.
Schneider
yes.
has a long publishing history mm-hmm. as a novelist, mm-hmm. as a mystery novelist,
yes.
as a publisher of literary magazines, as a poet.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be... first, and then Anthony Eglin, who comes to us from England
mm-hmm.
and who has a series of mysteries that are very popular. They are horticultural mysteries.
Oh.
So every year we've had mystery writers,
yes.
and always people want to know how mm-hmm. to and how can I
right.
you know, get published and
yeah.
what happened,
what
who
happened.
Did what.
And,
so
and
this is no exception.
Then, of course, you have Dr. Mark Sloan coming in right after Gayla Baron.
We do.
And he's going to pack the house, too.
He will.
He
and we
such
have
such a following.
We have it at an hour. This was where parents can bring their kids and then go over and enjoy many parts of the children's fair as well. And Mark, Dr. Sloan, has a great following. I
yes.
went to a reading he gave at Copperfields, which the walls wouldn't hold.
Yeah, that
all.
Was the biggest event
biggest,
they've ever
probably
had.
Probably the biggest.
His book
had.
Is called Birth Date. And it's a fabulous book. We did it on Novel
it
Idea.
It is.
Yeah.
So,
you know, one of the other things that the book festival has always been involved in one way or another is the announcements of the new Sonoma County Poet Laureate.
Oh.
And in the past, we've often made the announcement of who will be the new Poet Laureate when the selection process had completed by that time. The selection process, the timing of it is a little different now, but this year, if you're interested in nominating someone to be the next Sonoma County Poet Laureate, you can come by the 16 Rivers booth on Courthouse Square, and I'll have copies of the nomination form for people to take home or to fill out on the spot. There also will be Poets Laureate previous from Healdsburg and from Sonoma County and from Sacramento who will be reading on the main stage in Courthouse Square as well, like Mike Tuggle and Viola Weinberg and Penelope LaMontagne. All of those will be reading their poetry.
And, of course, you're too modest to
And
mention,
I will
you
also be reading,
are
yes,
a former poet
in the
laureate.
Forum room.
Or is one a former poet laureate, or once you've been poet
I think,
laureate, is that
I think the fancy term is emerita.
Emerita.
If you're female, and emeritus if you are male.
Impressive.
Yeah,
but that's a fabulous idea to have that collection of stellar poets.
And, you know, we always seem to have at least a couple of current or former Poets Laureate reading, and it's just a wonderful tradition to carry on.
It is. It is. It's wonderful. C.D., I feel like we haven't given you enough of an opportunity to jump into the conversation.
Well, I was just going to say, if it's a hot day, be sure to bring your sunblock.
Yes. That's good advice.
And a hat.
And a hat.
And a hat. And there's usually a lemonade stand, which is very popular.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and then, of course, people patronize the restaurants and the various eating places that are on the perimeter of the book festival. And be sure to let people know that you're with the book festival, so they'll realize that the book festival does bring people to the downtown area, because it's very important to the merchants and to us.
And I believe that a number of the restaurants have donated their lovely food for what will be a post-festival little reception for everybody who's involved.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I think we'll have maybe some signs in their windows saying, I'm a book festival supporter, and that'll be very nice.
Yes.
We've been wanting to have this connection that really is there geographically,
yes,
but because we're across the street,
yes,
but we wanted to see if we could get them involved. And a Neva Tour has taken that on, and it's been magnificent. She's made something happen that hadn't happened before.
Mm-hmm. And they've also been so generous in donating things for the raffle, which is a fundraiser for the book festival. And you'll have an opportunity that day while you're at the festival to buy raffle tickets if you haven't already had the opportunity to do so. And some of the prizes are quite impressive. So that's one more thing we do to keep ourselves alive from the fiscal point of view.
Yes.
Yes. And of course, donations are always welcome to the book festival. And there's more about that on the website, which is socobookfest.org. Be sure to check the website out, because there's a complete listing of information about the day. You'll find it very helpful.
And if you have a book of an author who's going to be there that day, you can bring your book and probably get the author to sign it for you.
You can absolutely get the author to sign it. I've done it myself. It works.
Yeah, and I don't charge that much. So,
we've always had the support of the independent bookstores in our area.
That's right.
We have fewer of them than we had in the past.
Yes.
Some of them have gone the way of bookstores,
yes,
all over.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the great support of Readers Books,
mm-hmm,
in,
yes,
Sonoma. They will be selling books of the writers in the forum room after,
mm-hmm,
the readings.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Copperfields always a very strong supporter.
Mm-hmm. And then didn't we have a third bookstore, or maybe they're exhibiting?
Well, Toyon used to be independent. It's now Toyon is part of Copperfields as well.
The one up in Guerneville.
River Reader,
yes.
I'm sure that they'll have something there.
They're going to be exhibiting, yes.
They always have something else going on that weekend. Is there always many things on?
That's true.
Every weekend.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been such a pleasure to spend this hour with three really remarkable writers and to discuss with you the events that are coming up at the book festival. And I'll look forward to seeing the three of you there. And I get to listen to the three of you read from your work, besides hearing all the other authors who will be there. So thanks for taking the time. And I want to thank Mark and Suzanne for their work on the technical side of the show. And tune in next month to hear Barbara Bear for the hour on her new novel, Grisha the Scrivener. So we'll see you all at the book festival, 10 to 4, Saturday, September 19th at Old Courthouse Square. And remember, it's free. So we'll see you there. This is your host for Novel Idea, Rosemary Manchester, saying there's no such thing as too many books.
Novel Idea is a production of KRCB Radio with your host, Rosemary Manchester. The show's producer is Suzanne Lang. Studio engineer is Mark Prell.